Hello and welcome to the Pintcast. Today I'm joined by director and producer Mark Cunningham.
Hello.
Back on the Pintcast for the fourth or fifth time, I think. He's a lifelong Manchester United fan.
Yeah.
I would say lifelong sufferer, but he's had so many good fucking years that we're finally enjoying him eating bags of shit now. So
too many good years.
Too many good years.
To the point where I became complacent, took it all for granted.
And now he's eating crow. But you can follow him on Instagram at Asura Creative. Check out his work there. But he's here to talk Manchester United and talk Manchester United and Arsenal. And boy, oh boy, doesn't he wish he was here last week before the match so he could be all crow and talk about how they were going to beat our ass.
He was busy.
He's a busy man, yeah, directing busy and fucking man. Doing busy shit. Busy guy things.
Film festivals, all that stuff.
Oh, rub it in.
Yeah.
Busy director.
Busy director, man.
So anyways, we're here after, a couple days after. He's had a few days to cool off after the consummate pounding that Manchester United took. Absolutely demolished. Never in doubt. Question that Arsenal are going to win that match.
Oh, never in doubt. We were literally a hair's breadth away.
Yeah, that's nicer than the way I put it.
Yeah, exactly. We shall not utter.
So let's talk a little bit about Arsenal 3, Manchester United 1. A good goal from Rashford against the run of play to score early. You know, we've got all these different talking points, right? So let's start with the first half, though. How did you feel? Because for me, the first 20 minutes, it really did feel like, the way the commentator put it, that it was a bit of a sucker punch because it was the first chance on goal you guys had.
Absolutely.
Arsenal had definitely kind of run the first 20 minutes.
Yeah.
What was your take on the first half?
I think it was all going to plan. We had to take the air out of the stadium. We played around with it. We brought in Onana to lure in the attackers and distribute the ball well. He does that. Maybe he could stand to save a couple shots a little bit better here and there, but you know what, it's all part of the process. We took the air out of the stadium, and then the sucker punch to return. All we had to do, frankly, was to defend well in the aftermath of that goal, but sadly we did not. But overall, I mean, I'm really loving that we have a lot more confidence passing the ball around in the back. That build-up play will eventually come, but for what it was worth, decent run for those 20 minutes.
Yeah, one thing that's become characteristic of these Arsenal teams of late is that they don't drop their heads after they get scored on. So that's been big for us, and a big thing, you know, and even like there's the guy, you know, what's already been going viral on the internet, the guy on the fucking United cast was like, oh, look out, because Arsenal tend to respond when they get scored on, and it was it was less than 2 minutes, and then they came back, and the first attack back down the other way. Well-worked ball by Martinelli, yeah. Some great interplay, good three quick passes, also back to Odegaard. And that's a finish that we've come to see a lot more with a lot more regularity. He's scoring a ton of those fucking goals now.
Yeah.
With those cutbacks. And he's got that – he's one of those guys that's got those, like, really precise – he's got a real wand of a left foot, and he's just putting those curled hard shots into the corner, like, every fucking time.
Yeah.
And that was a characteristic of him in the past few seasons. So last year he started bearing those all the time. That's why, he had the most goals he's ever had for us. Mm-hmm. But he was skying a lot of those over in his first couple seasons with the club. And so now he's really learned how to control those finishes – and is a significantly better finisher than he was before. I thought that it was a gut punch getting scored on like that. But when you can respond like that with such immediacy, like you never gave them time to get settled in and feel comfortable with that, with that lead, or start to play like a team that had taken control of the game.
Right.
And so I felt like that was huge. As far as overall performers, though, like who do you think really gave a good case of themselves out there? Because I thought there were a few people did all right, but some people did not as much. Did you have anyone in particular that stood out to you?
Yeah, Dalot. You mean on Arsenal or United?
No,
United. Oh, United, yeah. Dalot absolutely had a great game. I mean, made a few mistakes the previous week in that position because he's out of position. But just showed a lot of tenacity, a lot of desire to win every 50-50, to get stuck in, putting the head where people would normally be scared to put their feet, that type of thing.
Sure.
I just wish the rest of the fucking team could play that way. I wish the rest of the fucking team had that fucking fire in them. You know, we got Casemiro coming back a little fat and, all these players just a little sluggish to start the season. So, yeah, Dalot stood out.
Yeah, do you feel? I mean, I did think that your fullbacks really did put in a great shift because, as dangerous, I mean, like, you know, Martinelli still, like, the stats after the match that he was one of the guys that caused the most problems and was creating the most chances down that wing and whatnot. But, like, between Dalo and Juan Bissaka, you know, those guys did a great job of keeping those guys relatively contained, you know, like, to hold down. Saka and Martinelli are two of the best wingers in the league, you know, let alone the world, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, they're really tough covers. So I think for both of them not really getting skinned at all, like, even if the other guys got the better of them barely,
yeah,
like, they weren't getting left in the dust, which is the case for a lot of Premier League defenders can't stay with these guys. Right. So credit when credit's due. I thought there was a big, you know, Arsenal have been waiting a long time this season because for some reason, whether it was because there was a big Saudi bid coming in for Gabriel that we were trying to make sure he didn't get injured, and that since we didn't have Zinchenko starting, that we were playing Partey so we could have one inverted fullback, because we're kind of playing that more like three center backs with one, you know, with one fullback kind of tucking in. So we finally had Zinchenko back, and they brought Gabriel back in, so we finally had our starting back four from last season. So, you know, Ben White goes back to right back, which he's got a really great connection with Saka. And then our normal partnership of Saliba and Gabriel, which we saw later, when it came good when you saw in that moment when the Garnacho went on that breakaway.
Yeah,
it was the partnership between Saliba and Gabriel. He saw that Saliba had stepped, and so he whoop,
yeah,
hit that fucking e-brake, whoop, you know, on his tiptoes.
Yeah,
but that's a partnership when you have guys who played with each other like that, have built that kind of understanding. That wouldn't have happened if it was someone hadn't played together so much. So I felt that really affected the dynamism in the team, and like we looked a lot more fluid. And obviously, with us getting Zinchenko back in at left back and having him the way he tucks in and drops into the midfield, really gave us a different dynamic and caused a lot of problems for the United midfield this time around.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And I think look, the inverted fullbacks is a very interesting tactic for overloads, and I think Arsenal are one of the most ferocious teams sort of in attack right now, which is why to give another shout out to our fullbacks, you know, keeping sort of Martinelli and Saka in check for a good majority of the game. But, you know, credit where credit's due, we couldn't control the midfield, and that was sort of what we expected going into it. There's a lot of I don't know, just a lack of possession, lack of control. It might not necessarily be our strategy or our tactic, but that doesn't mean we shouldn't try every once in a while to keep a hold of the ball.
I mean, honestly, I was surprised when it came halftime that it showed that you guys had more possession than us, but it was a lot of sterile possession.
Exactly, keeping it.
It was a lot of the ball at Onana's feet and passing back between the defenders, and it was not possession in the attacking third. It was possession in your own half.
Right, yes.
So when it came to it, it was like, oh, well, technically they had more possession, but who had more time in the opposing box? It was like, well, you know, who had effective possession?
Yeah.
You know, when you're trying to get down these advanced metrics of, like, whether or not it was actually something. It wasn't like it didn't create anything towards the XG.
Right. Which I think, yeah, once again, like, part of the strategy. I don't think Arsenal got too many shots on target either throughout the first half or the match in general. But, like, taking the sting out of what you guys were doing, as I said earlier, and just, you know, trying to do something. But the problem is, like, there's no finishing on this team. You have Anthony Martial, who almost gifts Kai Havertz the fucking ball in the 6-yard line, and just, you know, lacked any kind of connectivity with his wingers. We are, you know, for what it's worth, all the money we spent, we are scant in so many areas of the field, and these injuries are destroying our back four.
Yeah, the injuries that mounted up. And also, wait, so, but what the fuck came out? So Lisandro Martinez goes off injured, but he's not injured.
He's okay. Yeah, so I think he felt like a tweak or a knock, and
he was just done. He was tired of it. The butcher couldn't take any more.
Apparently not. I think he felt he had tweaked it or something. Who knows? But what later tweak, they labia? Discovered. Well, it was the same ankle that he had broken.
Oh,
so I think he was just like, oh, I think I don't want to fuck this up. I don't know what was going through his mind, but yeah, I mean, he's not been sharp either, to be honest, since he's come back.
Yeah, this season has not been his best foot forward, for sure.
Absolutely not. Like, none of them seem fit, which is the weirdest, like, thing, because it's not like they didn't get a full preseason together. They did.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like I said, I think overall, tactically, look, we go into this match third place beneath Arsenal, right? We are playing against a team that is better formed, has been playing together for longer, has ferocious attacking, and we're at the Emirates. So we just go in with a strategy of maintaining the ball in the back, amongst the back four, and taking the sting out of the game and hitting them on the transition.
Well, it started right. You know, like I said, the smash and grab, like, you guys got the goal, but they just couldn't hold on to right after.
No.
So we have a few other events to talk about. So in the second half, we have, you know, first off, we can talk about your favorite referee, Mr. Anthony Taylor. That useless piece of shit. who once sent off the wrong player when he was trying to send off Kieran Gibbs, Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain. Right?
Something like that. He seems like a man who would confuse those things. God.
What a fucking Muppet. God. What a Muppet.
Yeah.
And, so that guy then goes back, calls the penalty for Arsenal when Kai Havertz goes down under very light contact. But there is contact made. And then goes back and rescinds it, which is just – that's exactly the kind of luck that Kai Havertz has right now. I am of the camp that I think maybe he should be dropped for a game or two. But, you know, I want to see him come good, obviously. We spent 60 fucking million on him. I didn't want that deal to happen when it did. I was like, let's sign someone fucking else. But – I do think there's a good player in there. He definitely looks devoid of any sort of confidence or any, you know, he had that flub right in the first half where it's like the ball fell to him and he air kicked it pretty much. Right. He like skinned it with his
courtesy
boot.
Of Mr. Martial.
Yeah. Martial. Yeah. Just dumping that to him.
Yeah.
You're always under more scrutiny. It's tough to come from Chelsea. It's like, you know, anyone that came, imagine if Van Persie didn't score any goals his first 10 games for United when he came from Arsenal. Yeah. You know, they would have been like, piece of trash, you know, this and that.
Right.
Thankfully for you guys, it didn't happen that way. just came and won you a fucking title. Not like we're sore about that or anything. I'm giving you something good. You can remember that's good was a decade ago. Okay. So that was 2012. Enjoy. Enjoy 11 years ago.
Wait, when was the last time you guys won the league?
I don't know. It's been a while. 2004, okay? It's almost 20 years.
Okay, all right.
We're due. I'm just checking. So we're due to win the title this year. It'll be 20 years since we won
this one. There you go.
We're just waiting. You know, we like nice round numbers.
Your 20th anniversary.
20th anniversary of kissing my ass, motherfucker. So anyways, what were we talking about? United sucking bags of dicks. Okay, let's go back to that. So...
I just want to say, though, there is like a connection between the Chelsea players that both our teams have bought. They connected for a Champions League winning goal.
They sure did. And both those players suck.
And both those players are sucking balls right now.
Yeah, Mason Mount is going to look good just by not being there. He's going to look better because the rest of your team looks like shit. I don't know.
He looked pretty bad, man.
Long may it last. I guess we can revel in that for each other. Well, we'll see. You know, so we had, you know, the guy that's come in the past couple of matches looked really good. And I felt bad for him in the Fulham match was Fabio Vieira, who's a guy that, you know, we paid $30 million for him last season. You know, the 21-year-old, he came in really slender. You know, he looks like a kid, you know. Mm-hmm. He still looks pretty small, but, you know, he's looking more wiry strong, you know.
Yeah.
But that's the thing. Like, we know it. Like, look, Koscielny came from France. It did not look like a guy who could handle defending the Premier League. It ended up becoming one of the most robust, best central defenders for a couple of years in the league.
For sure.
But that was after 2 or 3 years of, you know, being in London, training, you know, that real Premier League. It's like the same
gaining
thing. Like,
weight.
You see the same shit in the NBA. These players come in and it's like, well, they need to get that man strength. They can't be this spindly fucking guy. He has to put on weight and learn how to play with the big boys. And that's – it looks like he's kind of coming into his own a little more, and we actually might see maybe he'll get more action in the Europa League because we kind of think that the European style play suits him a little better. Mm-hmm. But he created the assist for that last goal for Gabriel Jesus. He assisted the goal that should have been the winner against Fulham last week and is really coming with some telling contributions. Also, it might be one of those things like you were talking about how Garnacho looks better coming off the bench, running at tired defenses than he does, you know, coming, you know, starting from the beginning.
Yeah.
And maybe Vieira's getting a little bit of that. He's coming in against a tired team that's, you know, whatever, and he's coming in. He's showing that he looks like he deserves a chance to get a run out. And so he's more of a natural 10 than an 8, so I don't know if he'd really work for him playing in that position that we have for Havertz. But the kid seems like he deserves a little more time. So,
hey, I mean, it's the same thing as Garnacho in the sense of, like, you know, if you come out first minute playing in a physical league like that with full-blooded, full-energy, you know, defenders and stuff like that, you're not going to get as much room to play your style. I think he looks great. I thought he looked great last year, too.
Yeah.
But what you need is depth.
Yeah.
And if he can come in and give you that depth, that's going to be huge in the long run, especially with Europe. Especially
So we've been surprised because our go-to, like, number one sub pretty much this whole season and the second half of last year since we got him has been Leandro Trossard. And he was probably our, well, sucks to say it, he and Jurrien Timber were probably our players of the preseason.
Yeah.
And Timber looked like a fucking monster out there. And it's, you know, shitty that he has to tear his ACL in the first match of the season. That's like, no one likes seeing that for anybody, you know, regardless of club. That's just really bad luck for a kid like that, especially he came in that well. But and Trossard was lights out. He was the man of the match against fucking Barcelona when they played here in LA. You know, he's scoring goals. He scored the goals against Luton in the friendly. Those behind closed doors we didn't get to see. And people were calling for him to start over Martinelli, which, I mean, they're fucking retarded. Sorry, guys. They're like, oh, why doesn't he start over Martinelli? What are you talking about, bro? Like, this is guy with the most electric fucking wingers in the world. Like, it's only because Saka's on the other side that everyone's not talking about him. And it goes
– very true.
It goes both ways. You know, I think they were asking Saka this week. They did with a couple different players. They asked him, like, to put together your perfect player, right? And so it's like a right foot, left foot, pace, and vision. Those are the four things. And so Saka said, like, right foot, De Bruyne, right? So Kevin De Bruyne, left foot. He's like, I'll keep my left foot. They said speed. He's like, Martinelli. Martinelli's the only guy that can beat him in speed on the Arsenal team currently.
Yeah.
And then vision, he said Odegaard. So, and I think the other one, I forget who the fuck else they asked, but someone else said it. But they was, a lot of them were similar. I think it was one of the English guys, and they said, I think they said left foot, same right foot in De Bruyne. Left foot was like maybe Saka. Speed was Kyle Walker. They said, who also is insanely big and fast and strong for his size. And then vision, I think, was Jorginho.
Okay.
Which, I mean, you know, that guy's got a lot of credit from both sides, everywhere he went. And people are like, well, how come Jorginho's not getting such a rough time the way Havertz is? Like, well, Jorginho costs us $10 million. He's a backup. We didn't pay $60 million for him to come in to replace Xhaka. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We did not. That was not the guy that we thought was going to be our box-to-box midfielder. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But let's talk about our other box-to-box slash holding midfielder that we did bring in who end up scoring the most important goal.
I don't know who you're talking about.
All right, let's talk about someone else you might know about. Let's talk about Mr. Slabhead, one Harry Maguire, who got a rousing ovation when he came onto the pitch. You hear that? They really cheered him on.
Oh, I bet
the Arsenal fans cheered the fuck on.
They knew
Harry
what they
Maguire.
Were doing.
Harry Maguire came in the 97th minute, and the fucking Arsenal fans went crazy. They're like, "We got a fucking chance."
Yes, they did, and they did.
And then who came on next?
Johnny Evans.
Evans, for whom the goal that we're about to talk about got scored off of. So. When that last penalty, I was kind of, you know, we're in the 96th minute. We're kind of like, fuck, like, it looks like we don't have any ideas. You know, Reece Nelson was trying to do shit since he came on, but it didn't look like it was coming off, you know. And we'd pulled off Martinelli for him, and I never like taking Martinelli off at any point because I feel like that guy's just such a monster that he's always dangerous.
Clutch.
And, they win that corner. Odegaard plays it all the way through, and or it was Saka who plays it all the way to our new shining noble steed in center midfield, Mr. Declan Rice.
Was it Saka?
Saka's corner, yeah.
Okay.
So he hits the corner all the way to Declan Rice at the back post, who brings it down off of his chin. And gets time to wind up. And you and I just watched the replay of this, and you pointed out to me how Harry Maguire is busy pointing and shouting, but not moving to close down, or even just shuffling over to break the angle.
Right.
He's staying directly in line with Johnny Evans.
Yeah.
Not doing anything to cut off the angle towards goal. Nothing. If he had moved 1 or 2 feet to his right, even the deflection off Johnny Evans would have hit him instead of going and getting to Onana. So
100%.
So once again, you have Harry Maguire at fault.
Yeah.
Him and Evans both taking blame for it and all that. Just giving up a 97th minute winner.
Yeah.
To, of all people, Arsenal. Letting our 105 million pound new midfielder, you know, stake his claim with his first goal for Arsenal as a winner against Manchester United at home.
Yep.
Dream scenario.
Yep.
Nightmare fuel for you.
Gifting him the dream scenario.
Gifting him. Just saying, hey, here you go, mate. Just take it.
Right. Yeah.
I'm just a little slab head. I just
look, I want to say congratulations to Declan Rice. He's been a great professional for many years. He can suck my fucking dick. it was a great shot. I mean, but he had all the time in the world to fucking take it. And props to him for fucking doing it. I mean, hell yeah. But I think the term that someone, I think it was Gary Neville or somebody, said about Maguire in that moment, or the defenders in that moment, was cowardly. It was cowardly defending. And I couldn't agree more. They, that just screaming for a foul instead of closing down your man, I mean,
right.
Cowards.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Fuck out of there.
Well, yeah. That's why getting into the quote from Roy Keane from the other week, right? When you guys lost to Tottenham, he's like, first that you guys are the new Tottenham, which, man, what a fucking, you know, considering the era he came from to say that about them.
Considering the era he came from, he's saying
exactly. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, I was like, that makes it hurt even worse.
Yeah.
And then that he says, like, the biggest slant I can say against these guys is that they're easy to play against. And when he said that, I was like, there's no one in that team that really intimidates you anymore. There's not this seal. There aren't these players that you were, you know, when they're in the tunnel, they look over and who do I look at? I'm looking at fucking. Anthony, you know what I mean? Guys like Fletcher and O'Shea were like formidable, like physically formidable.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, they had their heads screwed on tight. They knew exactly what they're going out there to do. These guys,
Ji-Sung Park, Cristiano Ronaldo, Carlos Tevez,
Wayne Rooney.
God, I hate that bastard. Thank God he's gone.
Bring him back. We need him.
Yeah, you know, you might need him as a manager, honestly. You might need him as a manager eventually. What he's doing? He's doing big things in MLS. You know?
Yeah, right.
You don't want him back?
Yeah, he's doing great. I think that's a damn good point. I mean, formidable. I mean, God, like, let's hope that, you know, Hoyland can get in there and actually, and, you know, speaking of Anthony Taylor, that was a foul. That was a foul in the box by Gabriel.
On Gabriel by Hoyland.
No, sir. No, sir. He got beat the first time, down the field. And then in the box, when he cut towards the goal, he got beat again and he wrapped his arms around him. You know, gave him a nice little hug from the waist down. Yeah, a little kiss on the cheeks. And no foul. Okay, hey, whatever. Havertz didn't get his foul either. But I mean, I'm just saying.
I mean, listen, you guys have had enough calls this season. What happened to that fucking first? You know, was it the Wolves match you're talking about? Where Nana came out and.
That was the Wolves match.
Let's not talk about calls around here. You've already gotten your fair share of calls already for these first few fucking fixtures, okay?
We got one.
Very important call. I think it's been more than one.
Yeah.
But also there's an interesting stat that came out. I think I sent you the picture earlier that with your ownership group saying they're going to stick around, there was a drop in the valuation of Manchester United of like 600 million or something after they said they weren't going to be selling.
In a single day.
Just they needed. Just they needed. On Tuesday, after announcing that they're not going to sell the team, they plummeted. They like tanked 600 million in value.
If that isn't the sign indicative. They need. indicative. Thank you. Of what they are to the club. My God. You know, as we call them, the leeches, the snakes, the vampires.
Oh boy.
All the monsters you can think of.
So tell us about where you think the club is at. Cause obviously you guys are trying to do the rebuild. You have the new manager. I mean, all right, first let's start with Ten Hag. Because I know what we feel about the ownership. Everyone hates the Glazers. We want them out. They want them to sell.
Yes.
This is the worst news of the season, worse than the injuries, is that the Glazers aren't going to sell, right? Because if they were on the precipice of selling, things would look a lot rosier.
Yeah.
That's not happening now.
Yeah.
You have the coach that you guys think is the right guy, right?
I believe so.
You believe so? Okay. So tell me what you think as far as his process. How do you feel he's doing? Because we also have the new fucking Sancho bust up and all this bullshit.
Yeah, no, so, you know, that's God, where do I begin? Ten Hag is further along than I think we would have hoped he would have been at this point. If you look at his record, he has a higher points total than Klopp and Arteta did at this juncture in their careers. He's also been dealing with a lot of internal rot, as you see from the Glazers, and honestly making the most of it. He's brought a lot of discipline. I don't know where the fitness has gone. That shit just fell off a fucking cliff. But he's brought a new level of discipline. He's brought higher expectations that the players have of themselves in general. And I think that was reflected in last season more than it has been in the start of this season. I think tactically he's very underrated. I think tactically he's brought a lot of very interesting ideas. I think the Arsenal match, in my honest opinion, is an upswing. As strange as that might sound, we actually, for most of the match, looked like we had a cohesive plan in place that we were executing to an acceptable level. And overall, he's bringing in players who give a shit, trying to get rid of the players who don't give a shit. There's a lot of tenacity in the players that he's trying to bring into the club. And really what he's been missing is just someone up front who's a clinical finisher, which we have now.
All nine goals?
All nine goals, but we have someone in that mold, I should say. We have someone we brought in to be that player. We'll see if it pans out, of course. But I like the look of him. Anyways, I won't get into Hoyland. So overall, I think Ten Hag's going to be... He's going to have a long and healthy career at Man United. I hope I don't have to eat those words. But
based on what I've seen so far, I think I'm okay with that.
Look, I, you know, we won a trophy in his first season, albeit whatever, you know, it's a whatever trophy. And I'll be the first to admit that. But more than we'd won in 3 years prior. So I like the look of him. I think he's going to be very good. And I loved how Ajax played. If we can play anything like how they played, I think we'll be good value.
Yeah, I think from the outside looking in, I think he's done a few things that make a lot of sense to me. And I think bringing in Onana is a huge thing as far as helping the overall play to modernize the way you do stuff. Because even though when he came in, you know, it was like David De Gea was the best with his feet as far as shot stopping,
right?
But not as far as distribution.
Hell no.
And you needed to do that to progress forward, to try to bring you guys closer to developing that Ajax style of play, the modern style of football you're seeing from teams like City and Arsenal that are playing from the back and doing all that. So I think you've made progress there. But like we've said, you know, when the defensive substitutions come on and you're bringing on fucking Johnny fucking Evans and Harry Maguire, like this is not going to work if Onana's got to pass balls to these motherfuckers.
Yeah. No, it's not. And when you consider the fact that we were trying to sell Harry Maguire for whatever price just to get him off the books and bring in, you know, I think we were looking at Jean-Claire Todibo, who I don't even know who the hell he was at the time, but apparently is a progressive ball playing center back.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, the plan is in place. We just don't have the,
So how much time does he deserve? I mean, I feel like regardless what happens, as long as they're, and we'll talk about predictions after this, but as long as they stay, say, like top six, I think you give them until the end of next season, right? Another full summer window to try to build the team and do whatever. And I feel like at that point, if you guys don't get top four a season on from now, then maybe his job's in jeopardy.
Yes. Yeah. He gets 3 years if we don't make top four this year. He gets 5 years if we keep making top four.
Right.
Yeah. I think that would be fair for any manager that's really had to make these wholesale changes, you know, that he's had to make.
And it seems like you guys have bought into doing a full restructure and doing the stuff that he needs as far as like bringing in, you know.
Precisely. We got rid of Ronaldo. We'll probably have to get rid of Sancho now but there's a funny story about Sancho that he pulled this shit at Dortmund, got pulled from the team and came back and started scoring and assisting every game after. So
and then they sold him for a tidy profit.
Yeah, exactly. Like 100 million. Jesus,
man, I bet Dortmund really wished that that the Gio Reyna shit didn't get out.
I know. Yeah.
Speaking of which, injured again, of course, hasn't played yet this season our measly Dortmund. Yeah. Dude, Dortmund looks so good. Remember, I saw him in Vegas against United. They beat United.
Yeah, that's right.
I got to stare at everyone wearing my Dortmund shit. I was walking around. I was in the MGM, like watching everyone while I'm wearing like my Dortmund hat at the.
No one's gonna hate on the black you for being a Dortmund fan.
No. But yeah. I got to stare him down. All their United jerseys, like walking back. I was sitting there betting. It's like, it's the best thing ever. Like literally, just the misery of other teams. The teams you hate is the greatest thing ever.
Oh, it's why we do this.
I was checking out of the hotel on Sunday, and I was wearing a fucking Arsenal training top. I checked out, and the guy's like, no, man, your team just beat my fucking team. And I just give him the biggest shit-eating grin, like, sorry, buddy.
Yeah.
Sorry, buddy.
Needless to say, I'm sure you're glad to know that it fucking ruined my week. It's been on my mind. I keep having this recurring daymare, wherever the fuck I am, of the line drawn by the fucking VAR and that stupid Gabrielle leaning, you know, smooth criminal angle that he pulled.
Oh my god, did you see the poorly drawn Arsenal photo of him doing the smooth criminal?
No,
dance move?
I didn't. Oh, I didn't god. Even know it was a smooth criminal meme. That
I
should make memes. But
yeah, I was like, oh, you knew.
No, I didn't know, but that's funny that you're thinking alike. Yeah, I just anytime I have some kind of joyful moment in my day, I'm immediately, oh, you son of a bitch. Look, his knees are out, dude. His knees are out. They fucking misdrew the line, those fuckers.
We want a recount. Yeah, he stole this election.
Yeah. Somebody call Mike Pence.
Oh, dear Lord. God help us all.
Yeah.
If that's the case.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was fantastic. That was a great way. That's a great way to start my Sunday.
Yeah.
Couldn't beat it.
Ruined it for me.
Yeah. Well, so we've got so you guys went in the worst possible way into the international break. Like,
yes.
Like the hits keep coming. All right, go on.
I keep saying, as bad as that result was, I actually liked the performance. I liked the game. Compared to how we were against Wolves and Spurs, I was like, okay, it looks like something is happening.
I feel like at least, I mean, I think even if this team doesn't have the same kind of spine as the other ones before, I think they got up for it as a big match.
Yes.
I think the bigger reflection is going to be how do they play in a week or two against like Everton or against Aston Villa? Like how are they going to look there, you know?
Yeah.
And a big thing for me, all right, so how do you feel about this, though? Because I have my opinions on this.
Yeah.
Maybe because I don't like his rat face, but Bruno Fernandes is as captain.
Yes.
As a guy that's an example for everyone else, who's so obviously, like... like
petulant.
Petulant, yeah. Like demonstrably petulant, yeah. And like makes his fucking faces.
Yes.
Bad body language. Yes. Like, as the guy, as the fucking example, and the guy that's leading your fucking club, like, how do you feel about having that guy be captain? Because for me, that's like... like, I would hate that. It was like when we had fucking William Gallus as captain.
I love Bruno. So you're kind of asking the wrong person to take an objective standpoint on him because.
But when I said it, you already knew the petulance. You already knew.
I do, but it's like somebody needs to be out there fucking getting pissed off about how shitty they're playing. Do you know what I'm saying? Like someone needs to be gesticulating and fucking flipping out by how fucking no one's making a run in to receive some of these. Frankly, glorious fucking assists he's trying to make out there. He has like the highest big chance creation of any midfielder in the fucking league. And none of these morons can latch on to any of those to score more than two goals a match. Like, dude, I would be fucking losing my shit out on that pitch.
Yeah, that's fair.
You know, he fucking plays. He's missed more games through suspension than injury. He's missed 4 games through injury in his whole career. Wow. 5 games through suspension, and he fucking plays 90 minutes every match. He's out there hustling each and every time.
I wouldn't say he's always hustling. There's been some examples of
that. Sure. But he puts in the tackles. He puts in the work on defense. He puts in the work on offense. His fucking goal scoring has fallen off a cliff. I don't know how that happened because he was going off on the Premier League the first 2 seasons he was there.
You guys stopped getting so many penalties.
Yeah, that probably hurts. But yeah, for me, He was the only choice.
That's pretty sad.
I mean, who else?
Yeah.
Harry Maguire?
Now I'm thinking, yeah, exactly. He took it off Harry Maguire.
I mean, yeah. our mutual friend made a case for Marcus Rashford. Marcus Rashford is too quiet.
Yeah, he's not that kind of leader.
No, he's not that kind of leader.
And Varane's already kind of too old and doesn't play every match. Yeah. You know, like that's the guy who's like won everything. I was like the only person that came to my mind had been like Varane, but it's like you can't give it to like a 35-year-old defender, you know, or however fucking old he is, 34.
Right. And
just with the miles on him
before him too.
Well, that doesn't matter. I mean, like I think like if Arsenal were to get a new captain at some point soon, which is not going to change with Odegaard and him getting a new deal soon. But Declan Rice would be the guy that you'd go to. So it can, you don't have to have been the longest serving player necessarily. If you would sign Declan Rice, you could be like, or maybe not this season, but another year, you could be like, this is the guy who you're going to give it to. But
we did give it to Harry Maguire almost immediately, which was the dumbest decision Ollie ever made.
Oh boy, yeah.
Amongst the laundry list of fucking terrible decisions he made too. But yeah, look, Bruno's the man. Like, Bruno's the man. He's the only one. He's the only applicant, and he's the only one who can
fucking Ratatouille. Can do that at least job. He can cook, you know.
Yeah, no, right? He can. That's the thing, right? He can. I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, let's see, man. Let's absolutely fucking see what this Hoyland kid can do.
All right, so you're saying, so best case scenario, let's talk about it now. Let's project for the end of the season, because, okay, you know, there's one thing we do here on the podcast is make predictions.
Yeah.
Where do you see you guys finishing at the end of the season? And give me then I want to see can you give me like a prediction for how many goals you think Hoyland and Rashford will score this season?
Okay. Oh wow, I love that question. So where we're gonna finish, I'm gonna sustain my optimism. I began the season, going into the start of the season, I believed we would be second this year.
Okay. Now what do you think now?
Third. And look, wow. I admit I'm doing is just maintaining my optimism. I'm Liverpool's doing much better. They were always going to make a comeback. Arsenal looks great. City looked great.
So you don't think fourth?
I think third. I think we'll push. I think we'll make a push.
That face. Good thing it's not a video pod.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Lying through his teeth. Like, yeah, I think we're going to
fuck
it. You know, I said second. We're going to finish third.
I'm just going to stick with third. All right, okay, I'm just going to go with third.
Okay.
And Jesus will take the wheel from there.
We'll be referencing this tape.
Yeah,
come
yeah.
May.
Please do. So we'll be third. Yeah.
We'll be third.
Hoyland, look, if he can get us 10 Premier League goals, right?
Okay.
17 for the season.
Okay.
I think he's done his job. Maybe 6 assists.
Okay. Wow. He's a big strong boy. He's a big strong boy. Yeah, lay off to those guys. Yeah, yeah, I mean, yeah.
He's smart. He's a smart kid. I believe in him. Rashi, maybe a little calmer this season. Maybe 20 goals overall, 20-25.
Okay.
You know, I don't think last season was like an anomaly by any. I think he's capable of it. I just don't think he'll hit those numbers again. So 20-25. My boy Garnacho.
Which one, 20 or 25?
Sorry, 20. My boy Garnacho with a tight little 8 goals.
Tight little 8 goals? Yeah, okay, I can see that.
Overall.
You know, it's funny. One of our friends that's in one of our group chats, I gave an option. So I was like, all right, which player? I was like, you can pick your winger from United. Like,
yeah.
I was like, do you want Antony or do you want – he chose Sancho as the guy. I was like, look, I won't say Saka because Saka scored the most, but I was like, I'm going to take Martinelli.
Yeah.
And we're gonna place a bet on who scores more goals.
Yeah.
And so I was like, you can pick any of your wingers. You tell me which one you want. I was like, Antony, Garnacho, whichever one.
Yeah.
I was like, anyone but Rashford, you can say. And, right. he was like, okay, I'm going with Sancho. So
wow.
He's already in trouble. Mark, if you hear this, or other Mark. Yeah, he's in trouble.
Come on, Mark. Come on. Oh gosh, no, Sancho.
No, Sancho.
What a sorry tale that's turned out to be. Well, we'll see though.
We'll see. I look, he'll get one more chance to play just because you guys are so desperate. And look, he's got fucking talent. I don't, you know.
Dude, yeah.
Who would have thought? I mean, honestly, like I love the way he played when he was at Dortmund, and I thought he was going to be electric. I was so mad he went to United, but it's just been fucking hilarious. So.
And we gave him the 3 months off,
right?
Mental health leave, and now he's coming back and saying I'm a scapegoat. Like, dude.
Yeah,
come on.
Sounds like he's got a little not enough mental fortitude.
No. I guess it's tougher in England than it is in Germany. I don't know. I mean, the press are ruthless.
Yeah, the press are ruthless. Yeah. Absolutely.
Social media is a fucking
I don't want to make light of the mental state, you know, like obviously mental health is a big thing and all that. So there's the pressures affect different people differently, you know.
Yeah.
There was definitely less pressure on him when he went to Germany.
Hell yeah,
you know.
Absolutely.
And now, you know, under the scrutiny of everything there, he doesn't seem to be holding up that well under it. So
the Euros did not help.
But you looked at it. Look at the way Rashford bounced back. The way Saka bounced back. Both those guys, the two other guys that missed the penalties in that shootout, came back and fucking, you know, like they just announced that Saka's in the fucking on the short list for the fucking Ballon d'Or, you know, for the first time.
And
so.
Look. we want to appreciate that not everyone is the same, right?
Yeah.
We want to appreciate that people deal with these types of situations differently. But he did get 3 months, which I think is a fair amount of time to kind of get your shit together, you know, kind of reshape your perspective on things. I'm not saying anything about the racism thing. That's an infinite tragedy. But, like, get a chance to reshape, refocus on football, refocus on your life. And I don't know. He just doesn't seem to, like, want to be there, to be honest.
Well, you know, maybe he has to move on to greener pastures, and you have to take a fucking cut rate deal to sell his ass for like 50 yeah. million or 40 like million. What are you going to get?
We've bought in the last
well, don't worry. We're about to like we're also about to sell our former record-breaking player Pepe is about to go for like
that's right.
we're like Trabzonspor want to sign him, but only on a free.
Oh
you know,
my God, yeah.
And it's like, and we've been trying to wait for the Saudis to pay us something, but they're all like, hey, if we wait long enough, they're going to let him go. So right. they've been refusing to pay anything. For a guy who also has done better than Sancho and all these guys. He scored 20-something goals for us.
Yeah. Yeah.
27 goals, like fucking 12 assists.
Yeah. Was he an Arteta?
No, he came with Emery.
Ah, okay.
And
okay. Just fell out of
and Arteta, he never, like, Arteta came in shortly thereafter because that was the season that Emery got canned.
Right.
And Arteta came in. And then it just kind of like, you know, he used them, but he never was the guy. And then like, and then there was a game where he fucking like blew it at the end and yeah. gave up, gave up the ball that ended up being, you know, detrimental and caused the loss. And he kind of was like, never had the trust of the manager anymore. And so he spent that year on loan last year in France and did okay, but then kind of fell off.
Yeah.
And yeah, so it's.
It's a shame.
We'll pour one out for Pepe because it's probably the last time. It's probably the last Pinecast where he's still an Arsenal player, but you know what? They're going to cut him loose. That was 80 million down the fucking drain, you know?
Yeah.
No, and it's crazy because, like you said, he literally scored like 20 fucking goals for us across yeah. a couple seasons. He's not as big of a bust as some of these other players,
yeah.
but, you know, history said, you know, they say it the way they want to. And
yeah. Well, you needed to reshape your squad, and, you know.
Yeah. Well, and it's great getting zero money back for a player you paid 80 million pounds for. So enjoy doing that for a 100 million pound player in Sancho or whatever.
Yeah,
exactly.
Talk about scapegoats.
No fucking
talk
shit.
Talk about scapegoats. Holy crap.
All right. Well, we're, you know, I think that's enough talk about United today. You guys can wallow in your sadness from here on out.
You don't talk about the Glazers.
You want to talk a little about the Glazers? You
want to
give
it
a little bit? All right. Fuck it. Let's
I'll
go.
I'll give it 2 minutes.
All right. Give it two minutes.
I
go
think
for
there,
it. Give
you
me
know, I, from our group chat, I think there is a misconception that United have a ton of investment that these guys have somewhat given us. And I just want to clarify.
No one said that they gave it to you.
We're
saying that you spent on players.
We're saying an investment in players. No, I get that. But, you know, at the end of the season, we're like loaning fucking Amrabat and stuff like that instead of paying the 30 mil. It's like... You know, I think the thing that maybe...
But that's an FFP thing.
Sure, but it's an FFP thing because we can't get rid of these players that we paid freaking $80 million
right.
last season. Like, you know what I mean? So, you know, I think the thing that people need to understand, if anything, and maybe why United fans... I mean, Arsenal fans are loving it. Long live the Glazers, I'm sure. But, you know, they haven't invested a penny of their own money or gotten investment into the club for the past 20 years. They've been taking out dividends, I think somewhere in the sum of over like $200 to $300 million over the last 20 years.
Scoundrels.
Carrington and Old Trafford is falling
yeah.
apart.
Yeah,
hasn't
they
been
haven't
renovated been. Or anything in 20 years now.
That's probably the best thing Ronaldo did while he was back, right?
Yes.
Cristiano calling out
pointing
the fact
that
everything's
out.
The same when he
the
was there in 2003.
The same goddamn jacuzzi?
Yeah.
We had, they put an investment banker in charge of a football club for 10 years.
Was that Woodward?
Woodward, yeah. And his replacement is just more business guys, you
yeah,
know, who
yeah,
don't
yeah.
know football. We don't have a technical director. These guys are just... sucking the life out of the club, and that's why people are so upset. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, sad days.
And
long
we spend a lot of money on players because we as a club are very successful as a brand.
Yeah, as a brand.
Unlike Man City, we don't have to fake our fucking numbers to prove that, you know, we fucking make good money. Like.
It was hilarious after, like, they win the treble and, like, people outside the stadium, they cut to Man City. It's like, oh, there's 40 people outside the stadium. Like, what is going on here, bro?
I don't know.
Oh, man. Yeah. I mean, I will say the City fans I do know have been City fans for a long time. I don't know too. Only now am I starting to see the bandwagon ones, you know?
Oh, you know the Gallaghers?
Yeah, mate.
Yeah, mate.
Today is gonna be the day.
Wonderwall.
Now we've lost the plot.
Yeah.
Now we've
lost the plot.
All right. Well, I think on that note, we should wrap it up.
Yes.
But look, good chatting with you, Mark. You can follow him on Instagram at Asorto Creative. Check out all his work there. Talk shit to him about United, or, you know, give him some words of support and tell him it'll all be okay. You know?
Please, I need.
But honestly, like, I don't feel bad for him. You know how many years United won everything?
We won a lot forever. Many years.
For 30 fucking years, they won like every other goddamn title. So. Yes. Let him cry for a while.
And we've won it all. We've even won a Champions League, which is something.
Imagine that. It still eludes some of us.
Certain North London club.
Maybe this year.
Oh, you mean Spurs?
Yeah. They've made as many finals as us, and they've lost it just the same. So they can go fuck themselves.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll leave it at that. Thank you so much for coming on, Mark.
Yes,
it's been a wonderful pintcast. Good chatting with you. We'll be back in a couple weeks after the Interlull, after a couple more matches. We have fun guests lined up coming up later on this fall. So check the space and check out some tunes. So we'll have you something to listen to on the way out. And we'll talk to you again soon.
Cheers.
Peace out.